May be seated and let's pray together. Father, we're just so grateful for the morning and just so grateful for these songs, Lord. We pray that you would arise. And then, Father, your church would arise. And then, Father, just as you've said in Scripture that when we die in Christ, that we are buried with him and we're raised to walk in newness of life with him. And now this is a new lifestyle. And we just want to thank you for what you did at the cross. And Lord, it's not to us, O Lord, but to you be praise and glory. You are higher than any other God in this life. So, Father, I just wonder why sometimes we find ourselves bowing to the gods of this age, bowing to certain idols in this life, idols of self, idols of money and greed, idols of lust. God, there's no one higher than you. There's no one that can fulfill what you can fulfill in our lives. And we just pray that we would be a people that live this resurrected life. Lord, that we saw demonstrated, Lord, in Maddie's baptism. We ask God in Jesus' name that, Lord, that that would be our life today. Not just on a Sunday, Lord, but on every single day of our lives. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, Lord. Giving glory to you. And Lord, I know that these days, some of these days can be hard and difficult, but we pray, Lord, that we be a people that do not lose heart. We don't lose heart, but we endure. We move through it. We move through the storm. We move through the fire because you have overcome. Lord, I want to pray that you bless us as we open this word. We ask that, Father, not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 right now, just for a moment, and then we'll get to the main text of the morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we spoke of this verse a couple of weeks ago. We've been talking about facing storms in this life, facing trials, difficulties, failures in our lives, and facing them and pushing through and being victorious in the life of in our life, but also in life, especially of trials. This week has been kind of stressful for me. And I was just kind of thinking about it in terms of just the weather. And, you know, everyone who knows me knows that I love rainy days. And I love the storm. I do. I really like rainy days. And I always have since I've been a little kid. But when water starts coming in the front window and drips start happening in your main room, and then when you have the crossing that you've got to cross the creek over, it goes from this to this to this, it starts getting a little stressful. And I just tell you, I dreamed of water crossings the other night, you know, and that's just how stressful that I became. You know, someone said once that they had a lot of troubles in their life, but really none of them came to be. Have you ever heard of that? I had a lot of troubles in my life, but not hardly any of them came to be. In other words, we spend our life just stressing and over things that really come to work out, even in the midst of a storm. And then there's always perspective, right? I mean, there's perspective in storms because you can go down to the hill country and know that there are people dying and swept away and whole houses being gone. And that's just perspective in the storm, and it's really, really important. But we go through trial and we go through storm in our life. And you know, I was thinking about Apostle Paul this week again, and just this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And then I think about, well, let me just read that to you. He says, verse 23, "Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. Now I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers and from robbers and from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from such things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches." And I ask the question, you stressed over drips? You stressed over a water crossing? I look at this man, the Apostle Paul, and I look at this passage of Scripture again, and I ask the question, how did he endure? How did he move through without quitting? How did he move through without stopping? How did he move through the persecution and the struggle? How did he move through the cold and the heat? How did he push through sleepless? How did he push through with the joy and with the life that we see this man who writes most of the New Testament, that we speak of, that we mention of probably every Sunday and is spoken of Sunday after Sunday in churches across the world? How did this man endure? Because we have the propensity in our old nature to quit, to grumble, to complain when things don't go our way, when things are disappointing and hurtful, when we've been sinned against, truly sinned against. I mean, you look at this man, Paul, Saul, who became Paul, who was changed by Christ, and I mean, he was persecuted. He was spoken evil of. They tried to kill him time after time, and eventually he'd lose his neck in Rome, according to history. And what made this man endure? Always finding the bright side, always finding life, always finding the purpose of God in the midst of everything. None of us in America hardly ever go through what he went through. We have a couple here today from Pakistan who have been through it. Refugees who went to Nepal, shot in the back because of his faith, separated from family for 11 years, persecuted. And Johnny and I had the opportunity to pick them up at their apartment. They've just moved to Fort Worth. And we got to ride back, and we didn't get to know all of their story. But there's a certain joy on their lives in the midst of all that they've been through, of testifying and giving witness to the greatness of this God who saved us that we sang so boldly about, so loudly about. There's no one greater than our God. And therefore, there's nothing greater in this life to live for or die for or to suffer for than this great God. What makes us endure? What makes us not getting hacked off and leaving the church? Leaving the church. I'm not talking about the local church. I'm talking about the church. What gets us to these places that we no longer endure with our brothers and our sisters? What gets us to this place where we get so disappointed or hurt or something that wasn't said right, and I move on and I sulk and I suffer and I make everybody else around me suffer? And this guy in Scripture has been received the cat of nine tails 5 times. And he's still going, and he's still moving. And the Bible says that he has the brand marks of Christ, and he's all scarred up because of the whippings that he's gotten. But yet he keeps pushing through to the very end. And I tell you what it does, what makes that happen is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is truly in his life. Bottom line. Truly in his life. I'm talking about people that are close to him. I'm talking about people that have betrayed him, who've lied against him. I'm talking about hard, harsh things, and yet he keeps moving. He keeps moving, and there's a certain joy, and there's a certain life that comes out of him. Why is that? Why is that? Why does he not lose heart? Well, he tells us why. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we have this great passage of Scripture about what makes us run on, what makes us endure, what makes us move through. And there's some things that God has given. There's certainties in our Christian life that defaults, that trumps the tendency to give up, the tendency to stop, the tendency to be mad, the tendency to walk in anger and unforgiveness, the tendency to doubt God. And no matter what the struggle has been, and no matter what we've gone through, trials, temptations, storms, and failures, there are some who have quit running the race. They've quit. But let me say this. We who are in Christ, we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart. Then we may have a couple of seasons that are bad and down, but we don't lose heart. We get up out of that season. We get out of those moments and we push on. We press on. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what Jesus does at the right hand of the Father. He's moving us toward Christ-likeness, moving us toward His glory, moving us toward the finish line, the fulfillment of God in our lives. Why do we lose heart? Why do I see so many lose heart? Well, Paul doesn't lose heart because I think there's three things in this passage that we can all relate to. I want you to notice the first one. Verse 4, notice chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we've renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Because we don't preach, we don't proclaim ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. And ourselves as your servants, your slaves for Jesus' sake. For God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Listen, we don't lose heart because we have this same great ministry. God has given us a ministry. Now, I want you to see this. I don't want you to see this as a ministry like a pastor or a ministry as something gifted. There's parts of that in this and that we'll talk about in a moment. But Paul is giving the context of this passage of scripture is between two covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the law and the spirit, okay? The law of death, the spirit of life. He's talking about two ministries, and he was talking about Moses. Remember when Moses went up the second time, the first time he came down, and they were worshiping and walking in idolatry and partying, and he got mad and he threw the stones down. Yeah, he threw those down and they shattered. And so he had to go back up. And as God was talking, he asked God, he said, God, would you show me your glory? And God showed him his glory. And God said some certain things about his life, that God was compassionate, and that God was full of loving kindness and truth, and that God kept his promises, and that he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And then when Moses received that law and that word, he came down from the mountain and his face was shining so bright that folks were scared of him. And they said, hey, you need to put a veil over your face. They call this a ministry of death, but it came with glory. Let me tell you what that means for just a moment. The law has its purposes. The law cannot save us. It can only expose our sin and lead us to the one that saves us from the sin that he just exposed. That's what the law is. And the Bible said that law came with glory. Even though it was a ministry of death, a service of death, it came with glory. And although we could never keep the whole law, it came with glory. But this is what he said about this ministry. He said, this glory, it faded away. Moses would come out, he'd have his veil over, he'd speak to the folks, he'd speak to Israel, and then he'd go back into his tent, and then he'd take it off, and he'd notice. Maybe his wife said, hey, you're not shining as bright as you did yesterday. What's going on? And the Bible says that this glory faded away. And the Bible says, and Paul says in that passage, in chapter 3, he says what he did was he kept the veil on so nobody would know out there that the glory was fading away. That's the old ministry. Paul says we have a new ministry. All of us have it. We're all a part. It's the invitation of God to see the advancement of his kingdom in this place, beyond, and every place in between. It's a ministry where God has invited us to kingdom life. He's invited us to kingdom, a kingdom movement of God that could move through this world. And some of us want to call it missionary work. And I want to tell you, it's ministry work. It's service work. It's the service of God, of shining the glory of God as God, as we reflect His glory to anybody who will come our way so that they'll see it. And you know what's so great about this ministry? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and since you're right there, just going to turn back to that. Chapter 3, verse 17, a great passage of scripture that says that this ministry that comes with glory is a ministry of the Spirit of God. Okay? It's a ministry of life, and it shines brighter and brighter. It's a ministry of freedom. Freedom from the power of sin, freedom from the penalty of sin, one day from the presence of sin. It's a ministry that is so wonderful that the Bible says that the Lord, who is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, verse 18, and we with unveiled face, why? We don't have to go and hide it, that it's, we're unveiled. And everybody can see that we shine brighter and brighter. He says it like this. He says it, but we all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into that image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord and from the Spirit. We have this great ministry. Paul says it, that listen, this ministry is so great that when I'm being beaten the first time or the second time or the third time, there's no way I'm going to lose heart. Because this ministry of the new covenant is so great. It's a ministry of grace. It's a ministry of mercy. It's a ministry of the Spirit of God. When Jesus comes into your life, He gives you His Spirit. And it's a ministry. He gives this ministry. It's the ministry of God into you. But what you and I get to do is we get to speak it, because it kind of flows in us and out of us. To whoever we might affect, to whoever we might impact. It's not carrying your Bible around and pointing at everybody. It's moving in the grace and life of Jesus that is appealing to those that are lost and to those that are seeking. It's a life that's appealing because why? Because they see God all over us. Especially in the midst of dripping roofs. Especially in the midst of our mediocre or our little trials that we walk in through this life. People see Jesus. And I ask the question of our congregation and the friends of this congregation, are we manifesting Jesus in the midst of the storm? Because this is our ministry. It's a ministry of glory. It's just to point to Jesus. It's just to show Jesus. It's just to show His life, to show His love, to show His purpose, to show His glory, to show His compassion, to show His forgiveness. That's our ministry. And it's the ministry of the Spirit. And you know, as I was studying it this week, I think about the ministry of the Spirit. Look at verse 6 of chapter 3. Look at verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything coming from us, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate, watch, as servants, as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit of God gives life. Let me tell you, if your relationship with Christ kills everybody, if that's your ministry and it kills everybody, I'm talking condemnation, guilt, pointing the finger, and it kills, it's the ministry of the old. The ministry of the Spirit, the Bible says, gives life. It gives abundant life, great life, spiritual life. It gives life. The ministry of the Spirit. When I think about the Spirit of God, I think of three things. Number one, that the Spirit of God is always present. The second thing is He is our helper. He's called alongside to help. John 14:6 on the screen says, I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper, and that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, listen, I'm going to go away, but the Father's going to give you another helper. Go back to that. Another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's present. The word helper is a paraclete, the one called alongside to help. Now, watch this for just a moment. If you have that spirit in you, you're gonna manifest that presence and that help day after day, week after week, month after month. It's going to show up in your relationships. It's going to show up in your marriage. It's going to show up with your children. It's going to show up with your grandchildren. It's going to show up with your neighbor, with the person you work with. It's just going to show up. And you know, when that person goes through time, you're going to get to imitate the third person of the Trinity that is always with you and is always ready to help you. The presence of the church, the presence, your presence in people's lives in hard times is manifesting the ministry of the Spirit of God, who is always with you and is always going to help you get through whatever you need to get through. But guess what he does? He invites you and me to be a part of that. He does it through human effort, human faith, human life, by the power of the Spirit of God. So that I wake up one day and somebody's texting me about the impact that they made in your life. Or their thank you note, or just a thank you of just what the Spirit of God did in them through you. It's the Spirit of God, He's always present. Always present, He's our helper, but He's also our teacher. There's a great passage of scripture in 1 John 2. You don't need to turn there, but if you just want to mark it, and it's in the notes outside in the foyer. But 1 John 2:27 says that every one of us have an anointing. Anointings are not for preachers. They're for all of us. And he says, and you have no need for anybody to teach you anything, because the Spirit of God, the anointing, teaches you about all things. It's not a lie. It teaches you how to abide in Jesus. You say, well, why would he do that? Because if you're abiding in Jesus, you'll bear much fruit. And that's the point, fruit, where people are enjoying the spiritual things that are coming out of your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Even in the midst of the hardest trial, the darkest time, the hardest hurt, the hardest betrayal, that we have this ministry. It's the ministry of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that fills us up and overflows into the lives of other people. And I want to say this is why we don't lose heart. Because we have a great ministry. And it's a ministry of the Spirit of God. It's filled with truth. The Bible says, he says, listen, it's filled with Jesus, who is our Lord and our God and our King. It is filled with all these things. It is a ministry of freedom. It is a ministry of glory. It is a ministry of increase. It is a ministry of light. And that's what he says. He says, listen, we don't preach ourselves. We don't preach Cottonwood. We don't preach our mission. We don't preach that stuff. We preach Jesus, who is our Lord, and we're simply bondservants. Because in verse 6 it says, God said, who said, light shall shine out of darkness. Now watch, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Matthew 5:16 says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Listen, light shines in us, and that light sends us, and that light is sent out from us. It's a ministry to us, and now it's a ministry from us. That's what this light is all about. I endure because God has handed me this great ministry. Now, let's look a little bit more about this ministry. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would, verse 16. Verse 5, verse 16. Right. We'll begin in 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he then committed to us this same word of reconciliation. So therefore, now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Really, really just quickly. This ministry of the Spirit is a ministry of reconciliation. That's why we don't lose heart in our marriages through the rough times. Because we have a ministry of the Spirit and we have a ministry of reconciliation. We are to demonstrate that. We, in a Christian life, in a Christian marriage, we are to demonstrate that. That reconciliation, as we're seeking Christ first, that we're dying to self and we're living to him, and we're walking out this gospel, this Christ-like, we have a ministry of reconciliation. That's why our lives are to have impact. Our church is supposed to have impact on those couples and those relationships that struggle. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry of reconciliation that goes from where a person who is separated from God and does not know Christ, because of the message that we proclaim, it's like you and I taking that hand of that person, proclaiming that message and proclaiming the hand of God and bringing that couple, that person together with God. It's a ministry of reconciliation. Most people in this world, though, don't think they need reconciliation to God. A lot of people don't know they've offended God. A lot of people don't know that, well, they're just good folks. And God knows my heart. And God would never send anybody to hell. And God this and God that. Some people don't even know they need reconciliation to their great God. And how will they know? How will they know unless we proclaim it? And how will they proclaim it unless we are sent? We have ministry of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for Christ. I have found that through the storms of life that are very, very hard, and the most storms in life, just they're emotional, okay? Emotional hardship. They're not physical things, they're hard, but it's the things that play on our mind and play on our heart. But I have found that in those trials, when I begin to understand the things that God has given to me, things begin to get better. And I want to walk those things out that God has given me. And one of the things that he's given every one of us in this place who know the name of Jesus Christ and know him is a ministry of reconciliation. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you were used in reconciliation? When is the last time that you were an ambassador for Christ, where you spoke to someone about the things of the kingdom and about your King Jesus? When is the last time that we have ministered out of the Spirit of God, out of the giftedness that God has given to us? When is the last time that we've spoken life, spoken the Word, invested in people's lives through the Word? Because let me tell you this, when's the last time? It's too long. Another chili commercial about that, right? It's too long. You have an opportunity today, in your family, with your children, to operate out of this ministry of the Spirit. We don't lose heart because of the ministry of reconciliation, because the ministry of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God's glory in our lives. And this is what he kept his eye on. This is what Paul kept his eye on, that this great ministry that God had given him. I want you to notice something else that God, he says, why we don't lose heart. A second, look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Listen, we are afflicted in every way. Affliction. You know what affliction is? We're troubled. We're pressed hard upon. But we're not we're not crushed. That word means restrained. We're troubled, pressed hard upon, but we're not restrained. We're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not despairing. We don't know what we're going to do here. We don't know what's really going on. We're perplexed about this, but we're not despairing. We're not despairing over these circumstances, the situation. He says we're persecuted, but we know that we've not been forsaken. We've been harassed, pursued, mistreated, but we've never been left behind by God. He is still in our midst. He's still in our lives. We're struck down. The word is used in a wrestling term. When somebody in a wrestling match throws you down. We have been thrown down. We have been struck down. But listen, the fight's not over. Because we're not destroyed. We have not been put an end to. This match is still going. This desire, this life after Christ, we're afflicted but not crushed. We're perplexed because not despairing. We're persecuted but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Why? Because we have this great treasure. This ministry of the Spirit of God in our lives, the Spirit of Jesus in our lives is the treasure. And we could speak a couple of sermons on this. But he's the treasure. He's the one of great value. And this one of great value is living in your life. And he's promised to never ever leave you or forsake you. He's promised never to ever cease to sustain you. So that whatever you're going through today, whatever the emotional crisis is, whatever the physical crisis is, whatever the persecution is, we have a treasure in us. We have this great ministry. But we have this great treasure. You know, there's something great about this word treasure. You know, I think of a treasure like, you know, if any of you have property and you think about, oh, I wonder if anybody's ever buried treasure here. You know, you ever thought that? I thought that. And you may find a couple of gold pieces, you know, from the 1800s or something like that. All right? That's not this word. This word is the treasury. It's the whole thing. It's the whole treasury of the kingdom of God. It's everything that is good. It's everything that is great. It's everything that is grand. It's everything that is of value of the kingdom of God. It's the whole thing. God just doesn't sprinkle you with Spanish doubloons and say, okay. No, he gives you the whole thing. He doesn't just give you the cheese, he gives you the whole enchilada. Not just the sauce, not just the onions, just not the meat. He gives you the whole thing. He gives you everything, everything that you need to live godly, everything you need to walk through the trial, everything you need to move through a beating of 39 times. I don't lose heart in that beating because why? I have a great ministry and I have this great treasure and it's the treasury of God. It's the whole thing. You got the whole thing, church. We got the whole thing. God is not some skimpy God that just says, okay, here's something for you, and here's something more for you. No, at your disposal, because of who the Spirit of God is, you have everything. You have everything. Do you believe that today? Will you believe it with everything that you are? Will you allow God to set? Will you allow God to do the work so that when you're in temptation to grumble, temptation to complain, temptation to move from one desire to committing the desire, when you have the temptation to covet, when you have the temptation to move to that drink, to move to that addiction, listen, you have the treasury. You have a ministry, and you have the treasury. And you know, we can talk from here to kingdom come about all of that, who Jesus is and what Jesus come to do and who Jesus is in your life and what God has done in your life and what God has promised and who God has called you to be. And you can talk about God's grace and God's favor and God's mercy and God's life in you and God's fruit, the fruit of the Spirit and all those things. You have the whole treasury. You have it all. And you have access to it right now, right here. Everything you need right now. That's why we don't lose heart. That's why we don't lose heart when things aren't going well. When we're really trying and things aren't going well, we don't lose heart. Why? Because we have this great ministry. We have this great treasure. And then you know what else he says? He says this. He says, and not only that, verse 13. He says, having the same spirit, it's the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound for the glory of God. What does he say? We have the same spirit of faith. We have the same faith. And in verse 16, he's going to say, therefore, we do not lose heart. Let me just talk about this faith for just a moment. We have the same faith, the scripture says, as the disciples had. We believe. What do we believe? We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ and that he's Lord. We believe that without Christ, we are lost. We are sinners without him. We believe that Christ came to save the lost, that Christ died on the cross to save you, to deliver you and justify you. We believe that Jesus rose again, and that we're now today saved saints and children of God. We believe that in the Father's great love for us. We believe in the Holy Spirit's work. We believe that we have everything we need to live a godly life. We believe that we are forgiven and released and free in Christ. That we are empowered to witness the glory of our great God and Savior. That God gives great gifts. That Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's the only way to heaven. That God conforms us into the image of Jesus. We believe that we are adopted and sealed and righteous and fruitful. We believe that God answers prayers, that prayers work. That we are a part of God's work in the world. That we are accepted and anointed and victorious and established and confirmed. That we are a set free people. No longer guilty, no longer forsaken. We are righteous by faith, saved till the end, the bitter end, the utter end. We believe that we are healed, sent, and standing strong. We are led by the Spirit. We produce His fruit. We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We believe that He never leaves us, forsakes us, or ceases to sustain us. We believe that He is coming back for us. And it may be today. It may be today. That's why we want to live that. We want to believe it. That's why we want to know of this great treasure. That's why we want to know of this great ministry that God's given to us. And you may be here today and you may be lost. You may not know Jesus. You may never have come to know him. That you never have put your trust in him like Maddie confessed today. And that you've never ever begun this relationship with him. Maybe you have, and maybe you have wandered far from this faith. But I want to tell you today, if you don't have the ministry, if you don't have the treasure, if you don't have the faith, today could be your day. Today can be your day. And if you've wandered from it, today could be your day. Today can be your day to believe new, to understand that this treasure is a relationship with Jesus Christ. To begin anew, to know that you have a ministry of the Spirit of God. And because of those three things, we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. We don't give up. And you know something? Some of us say, well, I'm not giving up, but I'm pretty mad about it. And so I'm just going to stew here for 3 weeks. Well, that's going to work really good for everybody around you. I mean, that's going to make everybody happy. I'm not giving up. But I'm going to let this thing ride for a couple of weeks. And you know what happens? A couple of weeks becomes a couple of months. A couple of months becomes a couple of years. Because we were so hard-headed that we just didn't submit right there in that moment. And maybe that's what you need. That's maybe what I need. To submit in the moment so that I might be transformed in the moment. That I might not jump to the conclusions of tomorrow. But be settled on what God is doing today. To be settled in that trial, to be settled in that storm. You know, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with this last passage of Scripture because this last passage in verse 16. Notice in verse 16, therefore we don't lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, in other words, although everything's falling apart on the outside, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. Now this is what happens. While we're looking at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me give you a few things here that you might jot down about not losing heart. The first thing is that I want to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. I want to proclaim this. Jesus is Lord. Listen, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the hardship, I want to say, God, you're Lord over this. You're Lord over my life. You're Lord of this right now. I added that to the notes, by the way. Okay, they're not on the screen. We don't lose heart, so we just confess, because that's what he said in chapter 4, verse 3. Listen, we're proclaiming Jesus as Lord, not ourselves. You are Lord over this, Lord. And then the second thought is that Jesus renews me every day. Jesus renews me every day. The Bible says it's from glory to glory. There's a new renewal that takes place. The third thing is this trial is momentary and light. It's momentary and it's light. And you know what? There's something about a trial being momentary. It doesn't seem momentary while you're in it. Listen, 30 minutes of trial does not feel momentary. 5 years of trial, 10 years of trial does not feel momentary. But I want to tell you, once you pass through that, you look back and you say, well, in comparison to eternity, it was momentary. Just a moment. The Bible says it's light. In other words, you can handle this through Christ. You can handle it because he's going to give you with the temptation a way of escape. Fourth, this affliction is producing something great. He calls it an eternal weight of glory. And it's far beyond all comprehension. So what I want to do is I want to keep my eyes on the eternal, not the temporal. I want to keep my eyes on what God's doing, not on what the enemy's doing, not on what the circumstances of my family, the circumstances of my life, but I want to keep my eyes on Him. I want to seek first His kingdom. I want to practice the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. I want to call upon my great God and His grace, this grace that will teach me to look upward, to practice that self-control, and to walk through the trial with endurance. We do not lose heart. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I don't know what you bring to this place today. I don't know if you've brought a trial. I don't know if you've brought a struggle. We probably all have. And I think the thing that I would say to you today is more than just, hey, don't lose heart. I think what I want to say is a faith declaration that says, we don't lose heart. Although the outer man's decaying, this inner thing that's happening, this inner man is being renewed day by day. Don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. Look at the situation that you're in today. Look at the thing that you're struggling with. Look at the thing that's beyond the, you know, just at the horizon that you're worried about or you're looking about. Don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. Know that there's ministry available. Know there's a treasure in your heart and life. Understand that God has come with this great faith to believe. Church, are you believing today? Are you believing? Father, I want to thank you for the morning. I want to thank you for the time of worship. I want to thank you for our time together. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for Paul's, his absolute total illustration of why he doesn't lose heart. And Father, if some of us have forgotten some of these things, I pray that today would be a day, Lord, that we would remember, and that we would see your hand in it all. Come, Lord, visit us through the storms. Visit us through the trials. Visit us through those hardships and those hard times. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake and His glory. Amen and amen.